Welcome to all our visitors. I want you to experience the presence of the Holy Ghost. Gold. The Queen in gold. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Just follow me if you will, please. Psalm 45. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, but of the, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions, that follow her shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Look at verse 9. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Heavenly Father, I pray for the anointing, the unction of the Holy Spirit to be upon my body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Cleanse and sanctify it. The word may come forth pure and strong, and let it affect our minds and our spirits and our bodies. And Jesus, may you be glorified. We take your authority over every principality and power of darkness, every lying spirit, anything that would hinder the word of God. Give us ears to hear. God, give us ears to hear. Lord, go deep into our hearts. Probe us. Let the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit be mine, Lord. It is your spirit that is upon me today. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears and our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the 45th Psalm is a beautiful picture of the bride and the bridegroom. There's a great marriage about to take place in this chapter, and the writer is actually boiling over with excitement and ecstasy. In fact, when it says, my heart is indicted, means my heart is boiling over with excitement. He can hardly contain himself because he is trying to describe something he sees in his mind, an incredible marriage, grand and glorious bridegroom and a beautiful bride dressed in gold. Do you remember a number of years ago, the whole world was mesmerized watching a royal wedding in England, Princess Di and Prince Charles. And they had what they call, every television station or network had what they called color commentators, and they were describing everything. They described the royalty of Prince Charles. They went into his history with film clips, and they showed you his fancy horses, how he played polo. They talked about his duties as a prince, and also that he was going to inherit the throne would be the next king of England. Went through all of his palaces, his wealth, described everything, and then of course at the wedding described how he was dressed. And of course the descriptions for Princess Di was incredible. Romantic, breathtaking, gorgeous, you can name it all. They described her gown to the detail. They described her flowers. In fact, even when they were in the church, there was a commentator whispering. You could see it, but they were whispering. Isn't she gorgeous? And look at her shoes and flowers, and they were describing everything. And this was to be, people all over the world cried. And I had tears rolled down, saying, this gorgeous, romantic marriage, till death do us part. Folks, we've lived to see that become one of the ugliest spectacles on the face of the earth. But folks, we're talking now about a marriage that is so grand and glorious that will never stop, never end, an eternal marriage between the bridegroom and his bride. Hallelujah. This marriage is full of romance, beauty, majesty, and it's eternal. It's about King Jesus taking a bride. Hallelujah. That's what this whole chapter. Now, I read that, and some of you missed it when I was reading. You missed it completely. The commentator here is the Holy Ghost. He's describing. This is marvelous. The Holy Ghost is describing this incredible scene that is unfolding, and he's showing it to us. He's looking at a throne, and the Lord God, King Jesus, is sitting or standing on his throne, waiting for his bride to come with her retinue down before him in the royal palace. Now, he is dressed in his military regalia because the sword is strapped at his thigh. All his enemies have been conquered. In fact, every battle he's ever fought, everything he's ever done in the way of mercy, everything he has done has been for this bride. Folks, every battle against Satan, every victory the Lord's won is for you, it's for me, those that are under the blood. And he's standing there in his military regalia with his sword strapped at his side. He's just come from his father's side. The father is so excited because he has prepared this bride. He's come from the royal palaces where the father has anointed him with the oil of gladness. All of his regalia is just full of the aroma of myrrh and aloes and wonderful aroma. And he is absolutely overjoyed because this is what it's been all about. He is standing in his own palace. He's waiting for her. He's waiting for this wonderful woman who's going to be his bride. Scripture up to from 2 to 8 describes him fairer than the children of men, full of mercy and grace. Hallelujah. And he's excited. And in fact, the commentator, verse 1, my heart is boiling over in a good matter, this wonderful thing that's about to happen. His spirit, his body, everything boiling over. He's exploding with excitement because he sees the King, King Jesus, standing, waiting for his bride. You know you and I are right now seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, but he's waiting for the marriage. There won't be a marriage, folks. We are engaged to Jesus. But soon and very soon, we are going to be married. King's daughters were among the honorable women. There were many, many beautiful, honorable women in the kingdom, but he chose one. There was one. And upon thy right hand, verse 9, did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Now, people try to figure that out. Ophir was simply the purest gold made in those days. Purest gold refined, mined and refined. Some say it was South Africa, some say India. It doesn't matter. It was pure gold. And upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold and Ophir. Now, I want to talk about this bride. What a sight she is. Being brought to the king. She's glowing because her heart's pure. This is not a harlot that's been transformed. This is a pure-hearted woman. And she is coming now toward the king. She's being brought to the bridegroom. What incredible needlework. This is not some broadcloth that has been picked out of some big yardies. This is all handwork, needlework. She's dressed in needlepoint, and the needlepoint is all in gold. She's glistening from head to toe with ornaments. And her face is looking toward the king. And what a sight. No wonder this writer is just boiling over with excitement. He is seeing this incredible sight. Here she comes. Being brought to the king and the trumpets. What a glorious sound. Because behind her, as far as the eye can see and beyond, her retinue of virgins, all dressed in white. And she's leading this procession in a coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says the virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter in to the king's palace. Can you imagine that moment? King Jesus his heart full of joy, because this is the moment. This is what he died for. This is the purpose of all creation. And this is the highlight. This is the moment. Hallelujah. And here she comes, all dressed in gold, the righteousness of Jesus himself. Pure gold. And here she comes, marching toward him and her retinue with her. All of the redeemed of all mankind. All the virgins, wide awake, and they're dancing and they're singing, and what a sound. Tambourines and stringed instruments. Can you see them marching and dancing, because this is the royal wedding? Hallelujah. I want to stop here for just a moment. Up to now, this sounds just like another royal wedding. In fact, there are some commentators who don't see the messianic truth of this. In fact, most of the commentators have not seen the messianic picture of this, but I agree with the more spiritual, who see the messianic part of it. Those who see it just as a historical wedding say that was simply King Joram of Judah marrying Athaliah. And there was a royal wedding at the time, and it was a great wedding, but this is messianic. It's very clear. I don't see how anybody can miss it. This is about Jesus and his bride. Incredible. I believe this is all my... I want you to go to Revelation 21. I want to show you the bride. Revelation 21. Hallelujah. Revelation 21, verse 2. Revelation 21, beginning verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared, what? As a bride adorned for her husband. I want to go to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now look at me, folks. The angel showing John a picture of a city coming down out of heaven, but he's describing a people. He's describing the pure bride of Christ. It has foundations. 12 foundations, that's the gospel of the 12 apostles. It has walls. You know, walls are to keep anything out that's not invited, everything that's impure. These are people who are walled in. The devil has been walled out. And it has gates to let in everything that should come in. That's the gospel. The good things are allowed in, the bad things are kept out. The Bible talks about a pure crystal water. That's a clear conscience. It's all the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you the bride coming down out of heaven. Where are we seated right now but with Christ in heavenly places by faith? We come to him right out of heaven itself. Coming down out of heaven, coming out of that place, seated with Christ, with a pure conscience, spotless, based on the doctrines of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Walled in, a wall of fire round about us. And gates. These eyes, these ears that hear, have an ear to hear and eyes to see and a heart to hear. This is the city that comes down from heaven. Now the angels speak of that great holy city descending. And if you read that, take time this afternoon or this week and read Revelation 21, you'll see a beautiful picture of the last day church of Jesus Christ. And as the queen stands before her bridegroom, the marriage is about to take place. But a voice comes. And folks, I take this to be the voice of the Holy Spirit. She has already had her heart won to the Lord. She's already committed to this man. She's left her house. She's left her land. She's left her parents. She's left her friends. She's left all behind. She's committed herself to this man. She's full of joy. She loves this man. She's about to be married to this man. But before she's married, a voice comes. Of warning, an admonition. And look at it there in verse 10. Psalm 45, 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Now notice, she's standing at his right hand. The marriage is about to be performed. But a voice comes to her, an inner voice. that you're going to hear this voice of the Holy Ghost this morning. You're going to hear Him whisper to your heart. Now, folks, I want you to hear me. If you've never heard me before as a pastor in this pulpit, hear me this morning. If you want to be in the bride of Christ, if you want to be there on that day, if you love Him, folks, the thing, it's something that worries me, that concerns me more than going to a godless hell, is to be absent on that day and not being His bride and not be embraced and not spending eternity with Him. Here's the message of the Holy Ghost. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Forget it. Forget everything of the past. He's left it. Folks, it's not enough to leave it. He said, forget it now. What the Holy Ghost is saying, what this voice is saying to the bride, you're about to commit to Him. Now, when you marry Him and when you're with Him, what is going to be your mindset when you're married to Him? Are you going to give Him just lip service? Are you going to just give Him your body perfunctorily and just go through the motions, and your mind is going to be back on your old life, on your old things, an old friend, an old lover, something in your past? Now, you've left it, but have you left it in your mind? Has it wholly possessed you? Have you given up the world so there's not even a memory? There's not a memory of the past. There's nothing. It's all dead. It's all gone. From this moment on, you are His. Are you counting the cost? Is what the Holy Spirit is saying. If you counted the cost, are you really looking at your love? Are you really considering the cost? Jesus said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, beloved, this is not a call for you to leave your wife. Some people have used that excuse. Some guys run away to the mission field. God told me to leave everything and he just wanted to escape from marriage. This is not an excuse to forsake your obligations and family. In fact, the Bible is full of these challenges and commands. To provide, for man provides not for his own. He's worse than infidel, he's denied the faith. And the Bible said we're to love and honor our wives. And the Bible said we're to raise up the children in the fear of God. There's all kinds of commandments and admonitions on this. So it's something much else. This is not just a physical call. In fact, God's own definition of being forsaken by His children is that they simply turn away from Him and turn to someone else or something else, and He calls that idolatry. When you turn your heart away from me, He said, anything that possesses your mind, your attention, your time, your money, and is your main focus, that is your idol, and you have forsaken me, and you have turned to idolatry. It's not bowing down before some little image and worshiping that image. It's giving your heart, your time, attention, your focus to someone or something else. It may be good, but it's still an idol. And they forsook the Lord their God and served Baal and followed other gods, followed other interests, in other words. Now let me tell you what this is all about. Follow me, please. It's a word to the bride dressed in gold. You say you're ready to forsake and follow this man, but where is your mind? I want to talk to husbands first. Sir, most of you can say I'm a good provider. I work hard. I bring home my money. I try not to waste it. My children are well-dressed. I put shoes on their feet. I dress my children. I do everything to be a good husband to my wife and a provider. I work hard at that. I spend a lot of time at it. It consumes my time. That's commendable. That's commanded. That's wonderful. God bless you. But one day you have to stand before the Lord and you have to answer. If you're a man of God, if you're committed to this bridegroom, if you're in the bridehood of Jesus Christ, how much, there's what I call a forsaking, abandoning time where in your mind you forsake everybody
You abandon everything. And you leave everything behind in your mind. And you get along with God, whether it's on the job, whether it's driving to work, wherever it is. And you say, Jesus, my beloved bridegroom, this is your time. And you forget your family, you forget your children, you forget everybody else. This is our time. How much time do you have? Or do you have what I call loitering time? We loiter. We loiter at the television set. We loiter and it's just hanging around time where we spend time with friends and everything else. But we don't have time alone with Him to get to know Him. My dear wife, not my wife, but all the wives, your loved ones, you say, Brother David, I'm a good wife and a good mother. I'm submissive. And I take good care of my children the best I know how. And I've got a lot of problems. I've got a lot of worries. But I really love the Lord. But one day, Grandma, Grandpa, wife, husband, you will stand before the judgment seat. And He keeps good books. And He's going to weigh all the time that you spent with your children, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife, with your interest, He's going to put it on a scale. And then He's going to add up all the time that you've had for Him and put it on the other side of the scale. Is the scale even going to move for you? You see, it's not the bad that's the enemy to the Christian, it's the good. It's the good. It's family. It's career, it's job. And folks, I want to tell you, it's not the job that stands between you and the Lord. It's not the family that stands before you and the Lord. It's the loitering of your own time that you could have taken and didn't take it. Folks, this is burning on my heart because the Lord told me if I was to be a true shepherd this morning, I had to come before you and tell you honestly that some of you that are sitting here now are not going to be in the bride of Christ. Because when you stand there, He's not going to say, oh, here's my beloved. Here's one who spent so much time for me. Here's someone just waiting for me. Here's somebody been expecting me. Here's someone just overflowing with love for me. Here's somebody that's been in my Word, that's just been saturated with my Word. Here's someone that couldn't wait to wake up to meet with me. Somebody would not go to bed without talking to me. And here you are. We're one now. Nothing will part us. No, because you're going to stand before me and say, I don't know you. I don't know you. You had no time for me. You didn't love my Word. You were not seeking. You went to church and you called that good time with me. But everybody was around. You had no private time. There was no intimacy. You were not with me. I don't know you. Depart. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? I'm not going to stand here and bless you. I'm not mad at you. But I feel the Spirit of the living God in me who says, where is your time? With me. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to this woman. She's about to marry him. And so the Spirit of God says, listen. You better listen. You better hearken. You better hear it in your heart. Forget these things. They take care of themselves. Are these things first? You can say Jesus is first. You can say, I love Him. You can come to this church every time the doors are open. But what do you do when the time is your own? How many books have you read? How many magazines? How many newspapers? How much television? How much radio? How many of these things have entered in? And you've loitered and you've loitered and you've loitered. And now time is running out. Jesus is about to come and you're going to stand before Him. You know, some of you being branded by an iron right now. It's being branded in your very soul. And when you stand before Jesus, it's going to be naked before every eye, branded Christ rejecter. Because you've rejected loving Him as He wanted to be loved. He wanted your time. If you love somebody, whatever you love gets your attention. Get your time. How many of you even know where your Bible is anymore? How many of you have it just sitting there? This is Jesus. This is the Word. This is Christ. It's the revelation of His heart. It's everything about Him. He's absolutely unmasked. His soul, His being, everything about Him is unmasked here. If you're going to go to Him, I would think that if you loved Him, you want to know everything you want, could about Him. You go spend eternity with Him. You know, there's some preachers that go to this book just to get a sermon. Teachers go just to get a teaching. Folks, this has become my recreational reading, where He refreshes. I don't go to this book anymore to get sermons. I go to learn Him and to love Him. Now let me show you something here. It's just incredible. The Holy Ghost is saying to the bride, if you'll put aside everything, and this man becomes the focus of everything, if you're ready to pay that price and literally lay everything in this world down, lay it down in your mind. You still have to make a living. You still go through this, but that's simply to make a living so you have time to prepare your heart. You're adorning yourself as a bride, getting ready. Everything you do, you're adorning yourself, but oh, you're spending time. Folks, let me talk to you wives first. I know you work hard. Some of you work even at a secular job. Take this past 2 weeks. Come on, honestly. How much time alone, not at the prayer meeting, not at church, where you just shut the door and you shut your children, your family, and everybody out and said, Jesus, this is your time. Nobody going to take this time away from us. How intimate are you with Jesus alone on the job? How many times have you stopped and just shut the world out and said, Jesus, be intimate with me? You see, you can have your heart won to Jesus. Many people have had their heart won to the Lord, but they've never been satisfied by Him. Well, there are a lot of people today who say they love Jesus. The Lord has won my heart. It's not enough for Him to have won your heart. He has to satisfy your heart. And there's some people who've never been satisfied with Jesus. They're always up. They're always down. They don't have that full satisfaction. And folks, that satisfaction only comes when you know He meets your needs. And He can't meet your needs till you trust. So it all comes down to trust. Then not only do you have to be satisfied, you have to be suitable for the bridegroom. You have to be suitable to Him. And that suitability is what I'm going to talk about now, this beauty that makes Him desire you. Now listen to this. Look at verse 11 again. So shall the king, first of all, incline the ear. Here's the message. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. That means no relationship, no job, nothing comes between us. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Look at me, please. How many have heard of the beauty of holiness? Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. The beauty is in His eyes. It's what He sees in us that makes us attractive to Him. The beauty is not on our part. It's what He sees in us. It's in His eyes. The beauty is not in our eyes. It's in His eyes. He says, then the king shall desire thy beauty. What is it that's making this bride beautiful to him? It's that he knows this woman is submissive. There's no one else in her life. She is totally mine. I have married many bridegrooms and brides that have stood before me in my lifetime. And there's not one that stood there that didn't smile at his bride and think to herself, she's all mine. The beauty. And the Lord looked upon the Holy Ghost and saying to this bride, if you be wholly His, if you just shut the whole world out and let Him know, you've got to let Him know by your action, by your submission, by your time. You just have, you know what He's saying? This woman really loves me. She would rather spend time with me than anybody else. Does it come like to that? You'd rather spend time with Jesus than anybody else, including your husband, your wife, your friends? She'd rather spend time with me. I'm the apple of her eye. He said, that makes her beautiful. I want to be beautiful in His eyes. I want to worship in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. But He's not first. He's everything. He's everything. Absolutely everything. He will desire that beauty. I mean, He can't stay away from me. He couldn't desire me. He's going to want to spend time with me. He want to be with me all the time because He's desiring me. He's yearning after me. In fact, the original, if you get into the Hebrew, the word lust is in there. In other words, it's spiritual lust. It's a spiritual kind of reaching out. This bridegroom so desires me because I've made Him everything in my life. I know what it is to have Jesus come to me and say that to me. He said, "You're beloved, David, because I see you letting me consume your life, your love." He's come to me a number of times and just loved me. There's times He can't leave me alone. He just has to be with me because He knows I want to be with Him. So many times that He just comes and whispers His love. He embraces me. Have you ever been embraced? Hallelujah. It's incredible. He shall desire thy beauty. This bride is all glorious within. There's a beauty that shines from within because she's so devoted to Him. Now I'm going to close with this. If Jesus comes tonight, and He very well could, will you be in the marriage procession? Will you be approaching the throne? Or are you going to stand before a jealous, jilted lover? Because my Bible said He is a jealous God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10:22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? You know how we provoke the Lord to jealousy? He's yearning after us, wanting our time and our attention. He sees us spending so much time, so much attention on other things, and He burns with jealousy. I know that. I know that if I know anything in my life, that Jesus is jealous. And we provoke Him to jealousy. In fact, the Bible says the day will come, His jealousy will smoke against you. It will burst into flame. What do you do when you stand before Him on that day? How do you answer? He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And He is the salvation. And what He's saying, how are you going to escape on that judgment day when you stand before Him and all your works burn? Because there was not the height of devotion, there was not the time, there was not the heart, and not the mind. You know what He wants more than anything else this morning? If you're convicted by the Holy Ghost and you hear the same thing, see, you and I are the bride. And the Holy Ghost is whispering to us the same thing He whispered to this bride dressed in gold. Hearken. Listen. Forget everything else. Start now. If you have messed it up now, if you have missed it, and if you're convicted by the Holy Ghost and you're hearing it, say, oh God, oh my Heavenly Father, that's me. That's me. Then today, in this very service, now, repent. So blessed Lamb of God, I want to be beautiful in Your sight. Blessed Jesus, forgive me for the neglect of this heart of Yours. Forgive me for spending so much time on everything else but You. And folks, if you'll give Him the best of your time, your attention, your thinking, your money, everything, just everything, first to Him, all these other things He'll take care of. He'll go in covenant with you. He'll walk in covenant with your family. He'll walk in covenant with your job. He'll walk in covenant with everything around you. You don't have to seek after these things because only the Gentile do. And the Gentile means heathen. Only heathen seek after these things. He said, seek me first. All these things will be added unto you. God said, I'll take care of your family. I'll take care of your needs. You put me first. You love me. You put your attention on me. You act as my bride. And I'll take care of your needs. Will you stand? Beloved, I'm old enough now to be a father in Zion. And I speak to you as a father and as a shepherd. We have to stand one day before Him. And we've got to answer as shepherds. And even if you thought I was too strong and came down hard, so be it. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. God convict us. God forgive us. You know the truth? There's not one person, including me, there's nobody in this building, there's no one hearing me right now, whether this is heard on tape later or here in this auditorium, there is no one who's really given all that they ought. I'm asking God to make this message real to my heart, make it a part of my very being. Hallelujah. Thank God, out of New York City, there are going to be hundreds and hundreds in that retinue, dressed in white, coming down. Hallelujah. Marching toward Him. Hallelujah. How many want to be dressed in His righteousness and that wonderful gold? Amen. Holy Spirit, I have a heavy heart, Lord, very heavy. And I feel it's your heart. You're letting me experience a little of your grief over many of your children who will come to church, who will worship, who will praise. But Lord, they have not yet developed. They have not really alone in their own time been intimate with you. They've not known the fellowship. Other interests have come in and it's blocked the vision of Jesus. And the heart is getting cold. Oh God, forgive us this morning. God, forgive. Now, while your head's bowed, the first invitation I give this morning, or for those that are here this morning, you may have walked in, this may be your first time, or you may have been here other times. You may have been here many times. But your heart is not on fire for in love with Jesus like it ought to be. You don't give Him, you've not really given me your love. You've never known Him to satisfy you completely. I'm going to have to use the word backslidden. Cold, indifferent. Not what a bride should be. Not at all. A bride should never be cold. A bride should never be absorbed in something other than her bridegroom. If that's you, I want you to get right out of your seat and come down here and say, God, oh Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. If you've been straying from Him, if you've been lukewarm, if you've been cold or backslidden, and you're not right with Jesus, the Spirit of God touches your heart, you feel a pull, get right out of your seat, up in the balcony, go down either side and come down any aisle. We'll wait for you here. Please come in close. There's going to be a lot of people coming this morning, so move in close. Let the Holy Spirit to just turn the whole house into an altar so that every one of us, folks, I tell you, even in spite of 3 weeks of praying for revival and everything else, none of that makes sense if we are not privately, when we're on our own, and throughout the day and the night, so given to Him. That's what He's wanting. He's wanting a people so in love with Him that all the problems of life don't matter. All the things people say about you don't count. You're so caught up with Him, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I want you to raise your hands, every one of us, and let's repent. Lord, we repent of not giving You the time We repent, Lord, of being a little cold and indifferent at times. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for not giving you the time that you need. Lord, for a lack of intimacy with you. We want to be that bride dressed in gold. Oh, Jesus, our hearts captured, won, and satisfied, made suitable to the King. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, put it in our hearts right now. Put it in our hearts right now to change today. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is faithful, who whispers to us and comes and says, take heed, listen, listen. Lord, I hear you speak. I hear you, Holy Ghost. And I take it to heart this morning. I take it to heart. Now, you that are up here at the front, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Right out loud. Jesus, come to my heart and cleanse me. Sanctify me. Forgive me, Jesus, for spending so much time on myself and my problems and my family and my job. Forgive me, Jesus, for neglecting you. Now draw me, Jesus, and woo me by your love. Change me and help me today to never go back to my indifferent ways. Now let me pray for you. Lord, I ask you by your Spirit to just come upon us. Lord, if we just listen to your voice and say, yes, I hear you and receive it, Holy Spirit, then you'll make the changes necessary. You'll give us the power. You will woo us to the Lord. You will draw us. The Spirit of God draws us to Jesus. Spirit, draw us closer to the heart of Jesus. Draw me as a pastor. Draw Brother Carter. Draw all our staff, our choir, our musicians, all our workers. Draw us closer to you, Jesus. That's what this is all about, to be closer and closer. Because you're coming soon, Lord. We want to be very, very close to you in these last days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Singing. Now, you shouldn't leave this service with a heavy heart. You obey the Holy Spirit, there should be joy come into your heart. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how. One more time, so shall the King greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Give him devotion. Give him worship. Before we leave the service, let's just do that. Lift your hands again, and let's just love him. That's what he said, let the bride worship him. Oh, how I love Jesus. morning. We love you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord, and we love you. You are the love of our life. No one else, Lord, but you. No one but Jesus. No other love, no other interest but you, O Lord. You are the interest of our heart. You are our all in all. We love you. We worship. We praise you this morning, Jesus. We give you our hearts, Lord. We give you our lives. We worship before you this morning. We love you. We're devoted to you, Jesus. We're devoted to you, Jesus. Would you turn before you leave? Now remember, 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Would you turn before you leave the service? And why don't you say candidly to 10 people and say, He's my everything. He's my everything. He's my everything. Amen. God bless you. See you at 3 o'clock.